ocean.
In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, to hear the lamentation of the women.
Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting on 93.3 CFMU-FM McMaster Radio, and we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. I am Walter Dreyli, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And together we are your Royal Comic Book Advisors.
On Her Majesty's Secret Wars Service. Do you like what I did there? You like that?
I saw it. I heard
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Who wrote that?
Yeah, you did. But anyways... Walter, how are you today?
Chris, we're doing great. It is Wednesday. It's the day we come together to talk about everything comic books.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
And it's the day also that basically the world at large heads into their local comic book shop.
It really is. It's one of those days where everybody just takes pause for a moment to realize of the wonderful world of comic books.
Chris, doctor's notes, all kinds of fake ailments are happening today. People gotta get to the comic book shop.
You know, that would be an interesting study to see how many students are skipping on a Wednesday as opposed to other days just because they gotta get to their comic book shop.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, opening day, right? Yeah. Opening day at the baseball game, you know, Jays, I'm calling in sick, right? And you know, yeah, whatever, the big game, the big gold medal game or something, everybody's calling in sick. I wonder, like, on a huge, you know, release, like, it's Fear Itself number one coming in today.
Brightest Day number one.
You think there's, like, en masse sicknesses to try to get to the comic book shop?
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure that happens all across the board.
Good for you. Yeah. Good for you.
But then again, I'm a bit of an optimist, so, you know.
A bit of a comic geek.
And a comic. Hey, whoa, hey.
I say it as a good thing.
Oh, right. Okay, good.
I'm laughing with you. Not at you.
You're so sweet, I think.
Chris, it is Wednesday.
It is Wednesday, as always.
We have a heavy show, so we're going to get things moving.
Let's get right to it.
And talk about, what do we talk about first?
First we're going to talk about the fact that New This Week is brought to you by Free Comic Book Day.
Yes, it is.
And so now the date is, I'm a little...
May 7th. Saturday, May 7th at every single comic book store in the world.
Every comic book store that's willing to participate, and that's really the only good ones, really.
Right.
So go out on May 7th to your local comic book store and pick up a free comic or two.
Excellent. All right. Chris, today we're going to start with Wonder Woman number 610. Written by the impeccable J. Michael Straczynski.
Yes, now Straczynski, he's been around for a while. I think he actually started his writing career doing like TV episodes of like Babylon 5, and then he kind of transformed over to comic books, and he did Rising Stars, and then he did some work on Spider-Man and Wonder Woman, and now he's doing Wonder Woman, of course. Now the art is by Phil Hester, who did a lot of work on Green Arrow in the past, and so this is like a continuation of the regular storylines, but really it's Wonder Woman is one of those enduring characters that has been around for a long time, and it's already up to part 10 of the Odyssey of Diana's Army. This is an ongoing storyline that's been going on for a while now, and it's clearly Wonder Woman's here to stay, and of course with the TV show coming up soon, it's she's not a character that's going to be going away anytime soon.
No, I got a funny story about on the weekend we had some company, we had some friends over. And they popped, they're from out of town, so they popped into the shop first.
Okay, right.
So my buddy and his wife and his daughter, and his son. But, his wife goes to me, she goes, yeah, we were in the store and my daughter and I played a game. We went to your new comic books, where the stand
right,
is.
Right, right, yeah.
And we tried to count how many comics have, the heroines have her head larger than her breasts. As they said, they didn't find one.
I was
going to
say, there probably wasn't very many. But
so,
you know,
and I think Wonder Woman, looking at this cover that Chris and I have in front of us, that would fall into that category.
Yeah,
too.
Well, yeah. But you know what? I'm going to just very quickly rebuttal that, because how many times do you see male characters with their own chests that are smaller than their heads?
Or with one peck.
Or with one peck. We don't want to go there. But all I'm saying is that, you know, this is comics, this is fantasy, so both men and women are drawn in a fantastical sort of way.
Okay. But I've bought your line, hook, line, and sinker.
All right.
We're moving on to Marvel. Captain America, number 617, hits the stands today.
Yes.
You got this kid named Brubaker drawing this.
It's Geis.
Geis.
He's actually been around for a long time. That's Butch Geis. He did a lot of work. He's done almost every comic. He did work on for DC and for Marvel. And for DC, he did like Birds of Prey for a while there. I think he did The Flash before that, and he's done a lot of different titles. He's a solid artist. He actually worked on a bunch of comics for what's that defunct comic company from
CrossGen.
Yeah, he worked on Ruse for a little while there, but now he's doing Captain America. And now with the popularity of Captain America, I'm sure that with Ed Brubaker's writing and everything, there's lots of stuff, great stuff.
Right.
Going
well,
on.
Gulag Part 2 in issue 617. And what's cool about this is on the cover, on the very top, you have the Captain America logo for the movie, the first Avenger,
right.
in theaters,
right.
July 22nd, 2011.
Right. And you know what? Our engineer brought up a good point. Is Marvel's actually bringing back a lot of those cross-gen titles like Ruse and Sojourn and stuff like that as well.
Yes. So. Excellent. All right, Chris, I'm saving the best to last.
Are you sure that's the best?
Well, for you, that's what you told me before the show started. Out of all the ones, you go, oh, well, can I keep that one? This is Suicide Girls.
Yes.
Is it number one?
It's Suicide Girls, number one by IDW. And it's written by Steve Niles, Missy Suicide, and Bray Grant.
Steve Niles. Now, he's written other comics.
So, yeah, Steve Niles was actually the writer on 30 Days of Night, which was actually made into a movie. That's the comic that, you know, they have all the vampires go to
Alaska
because they have 30 days of night, so they never have to worry about being, you know, killed by the sun or anything.
Makes sense.
Pencils by David Hahn and inks by Cameron Stewart, and of course he's a good Toronto boy as well.
Yeah.
So, but this is interesting because this is the Suicide Girls is basically they're like if you're not too familiar with who they are. They're sort of a model conglomerate, I guess you would say, and they're a bunch of women who pose, but they're not your average models. They're models that are covered in tattoos, and they've got piercings, and they've got, you know, funky styles of hair and all kinds of stuff. So they're not like your average model who you would see walking down the runway kind of thing.
Would you call them like I don't know, goth girls or
goth girls? But they're not all goth either. Like, I mean, they're just sort of alternative models, I guess. You would call them. They're expressing their beauty in a way that isn't out of, or that is sort of out of the ordinary. Like they're showing how, you know, it's okay to have tattoos and be yourself and still be beautiful at the same time, sort of thing.
Right. You know what's coming soon though is a crossover: the Suicide Girls versus the Roller Derby Girls.
Oh, if only. Yeah. Now that would be a crossover I would buy.
Yes.
For sure. Well, not to say I'm not going to buy this one. I'm just saying, you know.
Now you told me you weren't going to buy it. You asked if you could have it. And I said, gladly. No, but it looks interesting. And I'm sure, like you say, they do have a fan base. These girls have a great fan base. I remember they were across from us at a show we did a while ago.
You know,
and they were very busy.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, if you're ever going to be setting up at one of these comic book conventions, if you can get to be near the Suicide Girls booth, all the power to you, because that's where everybody flocks to get their picture taken with them and just get autographs signed and stuff like that. So it's a really cool thing, and they are international. Like some of these, there's people from Italy and from Europe and from Asia and from North America. So, you know, it's from all over the place.
Right. All right, Chris. We're going to end new this week right there and head into some sort of musical segue.
We are in 1 second here. I'm not quite ready. Oh my goodness. I know. I'm sorry. I'm lacking here on the music front.
Not only on the music front.
Hey, what are you trying to say? That's not very nice. But you know what? Let's go with a little bit of Mighty Mouse. Hold on a second here. It's coming up in 1 second.
Here he comes, that Mighty Mouse, coming to bend with the foe with a mighty blow. So don't be afraid anymore, 'cause things won't be like they've been before. Here I come to save the day. Thank goodness Mighty Mouse is on his way. So let the trumpet players play, for Mighty Mouse is here today. Here he comes, that Mighty Mouse, just like a bolt from the blue, with a heart that's true, fighting evil, fighting crime, and always there in the nick of time. Here he comes to save the day, and he will prove that crime will never pay. So let the trumpet players play, for Mighty Mouse is here today.
Oh, that's a good tune. Chris, they should make a musical of that.
Well, you know, I know we're going to end up talking about musicals later on.
Yes,
so,
we are.
You know, it's all right. It's inevitable. But,
Chris,
you know,
it is, as always, a great segue, a great, great segue into industry news. And this week, industry news is brought to you by Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, and when is that again? That Free Comic Book Day?
Good thing you asked. That is Saturday, May 7th.
Oh, right.
At your local comic book store. Now, Free Comic Book Day is going all out. You know that they care about their event if they've blocked the whole ad space on Comic Culture this week.
That's right. Yes.
They just called us and said, hey. Every ad is ours.
Yeah, that's right. And hopefully we'll be receiving a check soon.
Hopefully. Right? Well, yeah. It depends on the amount of people that come over.
That's
Free
right.
Comic
you know
Book
what?
Day.
I think people should say, I heard about Free Comic Book Day from Comic Culture when they go to their local store.
So please pay the guy.
So give us something.
Come on, do him a favor. Be a good Joe.
Come on, do us a solid, will you?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, I want to start with exciting news. So Thor, the movie, opened, I guess, down in Australia, New Zealand this past weekend.
Right, yes.
And it had a very, very solid showing down there. Good average per theater. It actually didn't win. There was some... I think Fast and Furious or Fast 5 or something like that won that week.
Well, yeah, Fast and the Furious Part 5.
No, it didn't. No, that wasn't it. Sorry.
That's the movie you're talking about.
It was the Turkey one. There was some sort
turkey
of...
Turkey one.
Yeah, there's some sort of Easter movie for kids that actually won. I don't have the name of it in front of me.
Hold on. Talking about Hop?
Is it Hop?
Hop, the one with the Easter bunny called Hop?
You know what? I have no idea what I'm talking about right now.
There might be a turkey movie for Thanksgiving, but you know what? I would love to see that. Tom, the turkey movie.
Yes.
That'd be great. Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
So but hey,
Thor
whatever.
Opened strongly was my point, though I don't have all the other... You know, I zeroed in on Thor,
and I just cut
out the filter carb.
Right, I understand.
Right, so which Thor opens in 2 weeks here in North America.
Right.
And I guess the industry pundits and people that track this stuff saying it bodes well for a strong Thor opening.
It does not open up next weekend? Not this coming week, but next weekend?
That would be 2 weeks from the opening in Australia of last weekend.
Oh, from
See
last
how
weekend.
I did that?
Okay,
that's good.
I like the way you corrected yourself, sort
Thanks.
Of, and saved yourself.
No, but which is good. I mean, I think we all know Thor is going to have a great opening weekend.
Right.
It's just whether the movie's going to be good and whether you're going to have second week, third week, fourth week. Because those are the weeks that make the film now.
Well, actually, I have a friend of mine who's going to be seeing an advanced screening of it tonight, and he doesn't know anything about comics or anything like that, so he's going to let us know what this non-comic person thinks about this advanced screening.
Excellent.
He'll let us know. We can report back.
Right.
Mind you, people might have already seen it by then, but you never know. So, but anyways,
our engineer James has mentioned that Thor opens on Free Comic Book Day weekend.
Right. That's right. Right. Yes. So.
So we. Will actually be going to one of those large Cineplex Odeon type theaters.
Movie theater type things? Yeah.
Type things.
I've heard of them.
The night before. Actually, Thor opening night, we're set up at one of those lobby theaters.
So
to try to get people into the comic shop.
For Free Comic Book Day.
Free comic book
very
day,
good.
Which
good.
Is very
right.
nice.
Okay, good.
All right, let's move on, Chris. We have Spider-Man the Musical news.
What?
Yeah.
I'm shocked. We never have news about Spider-Man the Musical.
I know. Apparently, it's so much carnage and bodily injuries are happening.
I love it.
That it's inspiring a new episode of Law and Order.
So, okay, when in any time of, you know, aside from maybe like, you know, the Phantom of the Opera, when has a musical inspired some sort of death and into another sort of, you know, TV series or something like that? Like, this is amazing that, you know, it's actually inspiring criminal intent.
Yeah, it's called Criminal Intent.
Law and Order, Criminal Intent.
Law and Order, Criminal Intent.
And it's inspiring a whole story around this musical kind of thing, which I think is fantastic.
So I'm reading this, and you know on Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, they let go that director
a while ago.
I think the premise from what I'm reading is that this guy comes back for revenge.
Right.
And
maybe he'll be like the Chameleon or something like that.
I don't know. Mysterio. Yeah. And I think Scooby and Shaggy solve it at the end. They figure out who did it. And I would have got away with it, too.
If it weren't for those meddling kids.
Yeah, so they have somebody playing like a Bono type of...
Because Bono wrote the song.
Yeah, and this guy here is called Arno.
Oh, wow.
He's a secretly bisexual rock star composer who's cheating on the missus with a colleague.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so this is high drama.
I hope they're not saying something about Bono there. I don't know.
No. They're taking poetic license.
Okay.
That's all they're doing.
That's good. All right.
So,
fair enough.
Now, is this a scenario, Chris, where any news is good news? Like any press is good press.
Well, bad press is good press. I think it's getting to the point where, like, you know, there's so much press about it, and a lot of it's been bad, but there's more hype now. This is just going to add to the fact that, you know, people are going to be curious about it. They're going to want to go see it. You know, and why not? If you happen to be in New York City, why not go see it? If you know, it's becoming its own entity now.
Right. Yeah, it's something that I have to go see, and you can just see the T-shirts. I survived Spider-Man.
Exactly.
Turn off the dark.
It's becoming the William Shatner of the musical world, really. It's becoming a parody of itself.
Right. Well, hey, listen, if that is their marketing plan...
It seems to be working. And you know what? I still say that the producers should be giving us lots of tickets to go see it, because no one else has been reporting on this every week since it's opened.
Except maybe Variety or something
like that.
Whatever. That rag.
No, who reads that?
Yeah. Okay, Chris, we're going to move on to some sad news. We're going to report that Bill Blackbeard has died at the age of 84.
Right. Now, our listeners are probably wondering, who the heck is Bill Blackbeard?
Well, Bill Blackbeard was a collector, basically, per se, and a scholar of the American comic strip.
Newspaper strip.
Yep. Right. So he basically cataloged and saved and collected something like over 350,000 Sunday strips and over 2.5 million dailies.
Yeah, it's crazy.
In 1968, this gentleman opened he had that collection in the San Francisco Academy of Cartoon Art.
Right, yeah.
And what happened was, at a certain time, mid-century, last century, the libraries went to microfilm.
Yes.
Well, he used that opportunity to go and collect all these bound newspapers.
Yeah.
And he basically stored them, preserved them, made sure that they were archived properly, in a sense that he sensed, I guess, that... this was a very important part of American history, especially a very important part of America's projection worldwide in terms of cultural export.
Yep,
like he compared it with, jazz, blues, and the comic strip of the early century. Right.
I think Harlan Ellison often said things like, you know, there are a few things that are uniquely American, and comic strips and comic books are one of them, along with jazz and that kind of blues and that kind of thing. So you're absolutely right. This is something that, you know, here's a guy that was able to take all, like, you know, decades worth of newspaper strips and comic strips and catalog them. Now, I think the point you were going to say was, unlike jazz and blues and some other kinds of those quintessential American things, where a lot of time the early versions of them got destroyed. Like, we only have, like, you know, 20% of what was actually created at that time. But now, here's
like
this guy.
Right, of the silent films.
Of the silent
80%
films.
80% of silent films were lost.
Right. Well, here, because of this one man, we have, you know, you know, almost 100 years worth of cartoon strips.
Right.
Right.
And kudos to him. And,
yeah.
And it's funny that we don't really we're not aware of these builders. If you can't really call him a builder, I guess, but we're not aware of these people that are helping, are preserving, and are promoting the thing you and I love, which is basically sequential art.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is that here's a guy that also wrote or edited over 200 different volumes of knowledge about newspaper strips in the Smithsonian collection of newspaper comics he wrote.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, here's a guy that was really involved a lot in this stuff. And
all right, so Mr.
He
Blackbeard.
Will be missed.
Yeah, Mr. Blackbeard, thank you. And he will be missed. All right, Rex, is it Rex Mundy or Rex Mundy?
I always pronounced it Rex Mundy, but, you know, I'm not really too sure about that.
Okay, Rex Mundy gets a writer. So Rex Mundy, is that Image or is that DC?
That's Image.
Image?
Image? Is it Image now? Or is it was
Dark Horse.
Dark Horse. Dark Horse. Yes,
you're right.
Sorry,
you're right.
Dark Horse.
Yeah. Neither was the correct answer.
The answer is neither.
The answer is neither.
You're trying to trick me on that.
Right. So Rex Mundy is cool. So basically, the Protestant Reformation never happens in the 16th, 1700s, whatever the heck it happened.
Right.
And the Catholic Church is the dominant church throughout all of Europe. And the Catholic Church stays as the main power force in Europe.
Right.
And it's set in, I guess, the 1930s kind of Nazi era, but it's the church that is the
reigning supreme.
Is reigning supreme and all that. So it's a really interesting kind of alternative history type stuff.
Yeah. And what's really interesting is the fact that here's this sort of alternative, not really well-known comic, and it's getting some big names attached to it. They've got Johnny Depp's production company, which is called Infinitum Nile, has optioned the property back in 2006, and now they've hired Tron Legacy screenwriters Brian Klugman and Lee Sternthal to adapt this comic book as well.
Yeah.
This is fantastic.
Yeah, you know what? Dark Horse is Mike Richardson, the guy that formed Dark Horse. He's still on board as one of the producers, I guess, for the movie.
Yeah.
But there's no word, when I was reading this, there's no word whether Johnny Depp would star.
Actually play in it or not, yeah.
Which would be cool if he did, just lend a big name.
Well,
but Johnny's got a lot of friends.
Yeah, for
right?
sure.
So
for sure.
I'm sure if he puts his blessing on the project,
yeah, I'm sure
it would go far.
That's right. Yeah.
But you know what? The premise is great, and I really want them to go forward with it.
Yep.
All right. Chris, we'll talk a little bit about the bookstores?
Well, yeah, every once in a while, you and I like to report on what's popular in the bookstores. And I remember early in our years of doing this show, we talked a lot about, you know, how important graphic novels were becoming mainstream. And actually, that's something we haven't really talked a lot about lately, because I think it's sort of been talked about so much. It's become so mainstream, we don't need to talk about how it's mainstream.
Absolutely. We've done our job.
We have. We really have.
Right.
And you're going to talk about what's popular in March.
So, you know, BookScan is a company that tracks graphic novel sales at bookstores, not
right.
at specialty comic shops.
Yeah, so places like Barnes & Noble.
So Naruto Volume 50 was the number one seller. Yu-Gi-Oh, Bleach, you're getting a lot. The top three are Viz Media, their manga.
Yep.
Black Butler is Yen Press, so is Soul Eater.
But
you get Scott Pilgrim Volume 1 at number 4, which I don't really like because it's old.
Yeah. Yeah,
but you do get Batman's Return of Bruce Wayne hardcover.
Yeah,
and Batman Time and the Batman hardcover as well.
Yeah, you know, I'm not entirely impressed with this list of top 10. There's a lot of manga that we've seen before in this top 10. Batman, which we see all the time in top 10. Walking Dead, which we've seen in top 10. And Scott Pilgrim, which we've seen in top 10. Like, there's nothing really new here, right? It's all sort of the same old, same old. What's not really as new is the fact that we're not seeing you know, Killing Joke. We're not seeing Watchmen. We're not seeing Mouse, which is
which we used to see before.
Right.
We used to see those three-year-old properties still in the top 10, which is what you don't want to see, right?
Right. Right.
But, you know, the serialized manga, I mean, Volume 50 is obviously a new volume.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see that at the top. But it is an old property that I guess continues to sell well. But, like, you're right, though. What you and I want to see is some original made like graphic novels that have come out in the last few months having really strong sales.
Right. I want to see European comics. You know, I want to see even the Spider-Man comic in here because Spider-Man is never in the top 10 here.
Right.
You know, anything from Marvel I would love to see because they rarely ever do they make the top 10.
Right. All right. On the same note, I want to talk about Barnes & Noble and their drive to become the destination for comic lovers.
Yeah, well, like this is great because here's finally, a major chain is championing comics for once. I mean, they were fringe for so long, and only recently have they started putting up all kinds of shelving for graphic novels. And although this may hurt some of the specialty shops a little bit, and I really don't think that's going to happen anyways, I'm really excited to see that Barnes & Noble is sort of bringing comics to the next level as far as bringing it out into more of a public eye.
Right. You may have something there. I honestly don't think as well that good specialty shops that focus on selection and customer service should worry about this.
No.
If anything, Barnes & Noble may drive more sales to them.
Right.
And the reason I say that is the same thing happened with the graphic novel. Believe it or not, the graphic novel, the fact that Barnes & Noble or in Canada here, Chapters holds graphic novels, what they don't hold is a large array or a large selection.
No, or the knowledge.
Yeah, or the knowledge. Yeah. So what happens is, you'll go in and you'll get the latest Batman. Or
right.
whatever. But, if you really liked it, then you're going to filter into your local comic shops to get all the older ones.
Right. Or you're going to buy something, say, the latest manga or the latest Marvel or DC comic or graphic novel or something like that. And then you're going to say, hey, you know what? I really like this. I wonder what else is out there that I'm missing out on. Let's go to the comic book store to see what I might be missing.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden, instead of seeing, 500 graphic novels, they're going to find 5,000 graphic novels that
you're
are available.
Absolutely right.
To them,
right. And from the way I read this report, I think they're obviously expanding the selection of new this week or monthly comics, but they are not going to go as wide as as your local comic book store.
No.
So they're going to be carrying the Green Lantern, they're going to be carrying Batman, they're going to be carrying Spider-Man and Thor,
right.
And Captain America, but your Rex Mundis, you're going to have to go to your comic
That's
store.
Right. And you know what? I mean, as I said earlier, the specialty shops are going to have the knowledge to recommend books that, if you liked Rex Mundi, maybe you'll like The Preacher because it has more religious connotations. Or maybe you're going to like, some other
Conan.
Conan.
Or something written by Grant Morrison.
Exactly. That was for you, Rob Haynes.
Right. Right. So Barnes & Noble, good. And I'm sure Diamond Comic Distributors is happy about this. They are, the sole distributor of comic books for Marvel and DC for now anyway, the hard copy ones anyway.
Right.
And so getting a large account like this will be good for them.
For
It'll
sure.
be good for the companies to get up their numbers. I mean, you and I have been talking about, the best comics of the month not selling 100,000 copies.
Right.
Hopefully this, pushes it back up. And I think you and I have talked about before, availability is an issue.
Right.
It's because most comic titles are confined to your specialty comic shop. And because most comic shops are not on the main drag.
Right.
There are still a larger proportion of comic stores that are neighborhood stores, that are old ma and pa shops, and not corporate kind of on right beside the mall type of thing.
Or in the big box stores.
Or in the big
like
box
that,
stores.
Yeah.
So getting to comic books on easily isn't as easy as you would think it was.
No.
And hopefully this
this will help.
Solves the distribution problem.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
All right. We're going to keep going here, Chris. This is exciting news for me and my young kid. Huffy is doing Marvel bikes and scooters.
No, Huffy is of course, the manufacturer of bikes and scooters and stuff like that. Okay.
Yes. So they have a license with Marvel to produce bikes and scooters based on Captain America, the first Avenger, and the Avengers movie.
Right.
Now,
does this mean that they're going to be going ahead and riding on like a Loki mobile or something like that?
You know what? I didn't see the design model.
I want to ride the Red Skull.
Yes.
I mean the the scooter.
Yes, of course you do.
Yeah,
I believe you.
Yeah.
the whole thing is when you buy a product, like the rule of thumb for me is if you buy a product, if you buy it based on a property like a movie.
Right.
The problem with those things is they come and they go.
Yes, that's right? True. They do.
The fact that you're buying a Spider-Man bike is great if you're a kid, but the fact that you've bought a Spider-Man 2, the movie bike.
Yeah.
You know, by next year, you're so yesterday.
Oh, for sure.
Because that kid with the Spider-Man 3 bike has got one on you.
Oh, yeah, right? Totally.
And his is faster, then, shinier, and, you know, he's, you know, got bragging rights at the playground.
Then you got to go out and get the Captain America, the first Avenger bike. And,
right.
And before you know it, the parents are hating you. And,
all right, and you're hating them because they won't get up off the thing and buy you a Spider-Man 4 bike. And stuff. So, I mean, great. Something, again, you and I always talk about is the fact that the comic book properties are proliferating and entering every nook and cranny of any kind of licensed
but,
product.
But you know what? I mean, this is happening even in other properties. I mean, there was a I believe it was Adidas that last year put out all kinds of Star Wars based shoes and jackets and things like that. So, you know, this isn't just happening just with the comic book stuff. This is happening with movies. And I think I would hope that if Marvel was smart enough, they wouldn't make it so specific to that particular movie. They would make it more generic, so make it like a Captain America bike where it's just sort of a generic Captain America, not, you know, Chris Evans who's playing Captain America on your bicycle seat.
Right. Right.
So,
right. Because I'd rather have the Frazetta Buck Rogers than a picture of Jill Gerard on my lunchbox. I don't care what you say.
All right. Well, moving right along.
All right. Moving right along. We got news, kind of bad news from the Montreal Comic Con, which is happening in September. Our good friend Oscar Yaz, who puts that on every year.
Yep.
He's reporting that Guarnido is not going to show. Of course, he is the artist
that does Blackside. Yes,
so he could not. I guess he's canceled out. When they were in Toronto, they were pushing the fact that he was going to be at the show.
Yeah,
and now he's not.
This is kind of a big disappointment because I think that was going to be one of the big draws for the Montreal show.
Yeah,
and if those of you that haven't read or seen Blackside, you got to go out and check it out. This is
your local comic book store should have Blackside.
Yeah, because I doubt Chapters or Indigo is going to have it, but amazing graphic novel about it's a sort of this
it's a crime noir with cats,
animals. Yeah, right. I know it sounds kind of weird and strange,
but he pulls it off beautifully.
Does a very good job of it. Yeah, for sure.
We still have coming though to the Montreal Con Stan Sakai,
yes,
and Pia Zadora. No, I said that wrong.
Pia Zadora.
Pia Guerrera.
Wasn't Pia...
Pia Guerra.
Pia Zadora. Wasn't she in Santa Claus Conquers the Martians or something like that?
She might have been.
Yeah.
I apologize. Pia Guerra.
Yep.
So I guess these two acts. Yeah, these acts are coming to town. these two guys don't make trips to Canada very often. And so the Montreal Comic Con is still shaping up to be a great event. And it's what I like is the fact that he's... as soon as he got word, he's putting it out there that Wanyo is not coming. So.
Right. Oh, is it Wanyo? That's right. That is how you... I thought you were just mispronouncing his name as usual.
Again.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Let's move on to some really, really, really good news.
Yes.
And that is the fact that the Avengers is... the filming has started, I believe, today.
Yes, it started today, and this, of course, the Avengers movie that is going to be directed by Joss Whedon of Buffy fame, and he's also going to be hopefully writing and directing the Wonder Woman film as well for Warner Brothers. But this is something that, you know, the Avengers movie is going to be starring with Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, who's of course plays Thor, Scarlett Johansson, who's going to be Black Widow, Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk, Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury, Chris Evans as Captain America. You know, the list goes on and on and on. So this movie is slated to open up May 4th, 2012.
Which is a year from now, which is great because it looks like it's lining up for the Free Comic Book Day
movie.
Right, again. And that's a lot of you know, like I guess today's A-list actors, big names. I remember there was discussion on it. How are they going to pull the movie off? How are they going to give each guy enough time on the screen? Yeah. How are they going to give each principal enough weight? And, you know, in my mind, you don't have to. I think it's a team movie. Yeah. You stick to it as a team movie. Yep. I think it's going to be one of those things, if you play it right, each small part's going to just –
Be big enough.
But the final product will be bigger than the sum of its parts.
Right.
I hope that's what they do.
I think you're talking about synergy there. The movie's going to have synergy. That's what you're saying, basically.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, that's what those classes were all about.
No, I think it looks fantastic. And you know what? Joss Whedon is really great at doing team-type books. He did a great job on Buffy, and he did a great job on the Astonishing X-Men when he wrote that with John Cassidy. Not
right.
David Cassidy. John Cassidy. And, you know, I think he is probably going to be the most suited to direct this movie.
Right. And you're right, because Buffy was kind of a team
Completely was. Even though it was called Buffy, there was a really about a team of these vampires.
And you can't get much better of a team, I guess, than X-Men, right?
Right.
And he did very well. Too, so I think he understands the nuances of team play there.
Yeah, for sure.
And now, also confirmed for the movie is that Loki. Is it Loki or Loki?
Well, we've always pronounced it Loki, but you know, it's we're trying to be a little low key about the
low
whole thing.
Key.
Yeah, I got a million of them.
Chris,
is this thing on? Hello,
are you there?
Hello.
Marvel Studios has announced that this kid, who's playing what the heck is his name? Tim Hiddleston.
Tim Hiddleston yeah. And Stellan Skarsgård.
Yeah, they're going to be Loki and Professor Eric
Selvig.
Right.
Yeah.
So, what's not known is if he's going to be the main villain, because they were thinking of this whole Skrull thing.
Yeah, we don't know what role he's going to be playing. I mean, maybe he just has a bit part in it, right? We're going to know the role, but we're not going to know what role Loki is going to be playing. If it's going to be a big role or a small role, or you know,
right? Okay, so if it's Kree Skrull though.
Right.
You're entering that world of cosmic Marvel, right?
Yes.
So do you expect an appearance from guys like Thanos?
Absolutely, for sure.
Do you
sure,
expect an appearance
sure.
from guys like Galactus?
Maybe not as big as Galactus, because he was in the Fantastic Four
right,
movie.
Right, he may be a property that's not owned by Marvel, like Fox or somebody like that. Right, okay. How about guys like The Watcher?
Maybe. It would be kind of cool if he was in that.
Yeah, it would be really cool if he was in
but
that.
But Thanos would be cool. As you already said,
Drax the Destroyer and all those guys, right?
And the Guardians of the Galaxy, maybe.
Yeah. Nova.
I'll
tell you, all those guys. So that's adding even more. What do you call it? Adding even more
synergy
into the stew. Yeah.
Yes.
Adding even
sure.
more things to synergize.
But I think if it's going to be like a Kree Skrull thing, you know, and the Skrulls are shapeshifters, so maybe it'll just be a very bit part that that Loki will have, and it just as somebody who is seen to be a shapeshifter or something like that. And so we don't necessarily know what kind of role that these major players are going to be in this movie.
All right. Well, listen. The main thing is it's being talked about heavily. It's a year away from being released. Everybody's talking about it, everybody's blogging about it, and that's a really, really good thing.
All right, well, let's take a quick break here, and I've got something a little bit different that we haven't played for a while, and this is the Superman theme. We'll be right back. on now. Come on. That's the, how can you be falling asleep during the Superman theme?
I don't know. Classical music always does that to me.
Yeah, you know what? You're like school in summertime. No class.
Ooh. Chris, I want to talk about Lego-style helmets that read comics to kids.
That reads comics to kids.
Yeah.
So they don't actually have to do the work themselves.
Yeah, so this is like the anti-literacy helmet.
Quick, bring me my anti-literacy helmet.
Quick, before Mom gets home.
Quick, to the Lego-mobile.
So this guy that I guess Lego hasn't really picked this up yet, but this guy is doing a Lego-themed helmet that reads kind of audio comics. So what you do is you put this thing on your head, and it looks like the helmets that you put on all those little Lego figures.
Right, right. Right? So yeah.
No, I got two kids.
It's kind of like a bike helmet.
Yeah, like a stormtrooper helmet.
Right. An astronaut kind of thing. Okay. Like anyways, go on. Yeah.
Kind of a mix between a stormtrooper and an astronaut helmet.
Sure, but stormtroopers have faces. That's all I meant. Okay.
My kids, I got a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old, and they love Lego.
Right.
So the whole thing with Lego is not the themes. It's the little characters.
Right.
They got to have – they'll flippin' want you to get some $44 Lego.
Right.
Because it has that one guy they need.
Yeah.
They have very little interest in building the stupid thing except getting damn guy.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that they have little interest in actually building it.
All right, you're right. But still, the people are of paramount importance. So these helmets that look like the Lego characters, I can just see kids wanting them.
Well,
badly.
You think so? I mean, it sounds like it's going to be like some sort of bad film strip. Like, you know, at the sound of the tone, turn the page. Beep. You know? Beep. And because you're supposed to be following along with a comic or something like that, and they're supposed to be reading it to you. Is that the idea?
You know what? You're right, Chris. I remember once, what the heck is that art gallery up north somewhere? The McLaughlin Museum or something like that?
Okay.
Where they have those Group of Seven.
Right.
So I went there once and you sit down, so you're looking at this Thompson painting.
Right.
And you put these headphones.
Yeah.
And there's a guy talking to you, and he goes, if you look to the lower left, you'll notice the brush strokes indicating. I go, what the hell? Why am I listening to this?
If you look to the lower left of the Lego piece, you'll find the brick is a little bit off color.
Yes.
That was due to a malfunctioning problem during the production.
Yeah, so you're right. I mean, this doesn't sound on the surface like a good idea for a parent to buy.
No.
Nor would I think it's a good idea because the flipping helmet's reading the comic for you and you're not reading the comic for
you. Mom, Dad, will you read me a story? No, kid, here, just throw your Lego helmet on and...
leave me alone.
Go leave me alone. Go read your flipping Dr. Seuss, will you?
Yeah, I got to play my online poker.
Yeah. It sounds terrible.
Yeah, you're right. It does sound terrible, but for some reason, I have a feeling this is going to be a hit.
You know what?
Jonathan Robson, when he was a kid... He. This is the creator of this thing. He states that he was part of the Lego Club,
right?
And every month he got mailed the Lego magazine, and then they would have comics in the Lego magazine, and he loved to read them. So he says this is my way of giving back.
Well, just because you mailed away for something doesn't mean that it was necessarily going to catch on today. I mean, how many kids are mailing away for sea monkeys or X-ray specs that really work?
Yeah, how many of those mail away things you get in the mail, Chris, really work?
Oh, sadly. Not very many.
Okay. Chris, on to even better and brighter news.
All right. Yes.
Of course, this weekend is the super nuptials.
Super nuptials.
Yes, the nuptials. Forget about Reed and
Sue.
What's Sue? Yeah. We're talking about Fergie and
Fergie.
No, what's her name?
We're talking about Fergie. No. Let's talk about Fergie.
We're talking about the royal wedding.
Kate and William. I think we should talk about Fergie for a little while. You talking about, is this the Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas?
No.
Or
I'm talking about Jenkins. But the royal wedding's happening this weekend.
Yes.
London and England and the whole world are abuzz.
Right.
Reporters converging on it left and right. The graphic novel, A Love Story,
right.
Kate and William,
yeah.
is selling like hotcakes.
Yeah.
And so this is comic related. We can talk
absolutely,
about it.
Absolutely,
yeah. We do have word.
We have our intrepid reporter out in England, in London, our reporter Daniel Champion. He said he's going to check things out. He's going to report back as to the comic book situation in London at the time. And he wrote to me saying that I asked him if he was going to the royal wedding, and he said, well, yes, I am, because basically if you're going to be in London, you're going to be at the royal wedding, because this is like a countrywide party going on, basically.
Yes, yes.
And so I asked him to see if there's anything going on with any of the local comic book shops, if they're having anything to do with the royal wedding or anything like that. And he said he's going to report back to us and let us know. So, Daniel, we are looking forward to hearing back from you next week.
Yeah.
Or, it is this weekend, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, this weekend. Yeah. Right. Now, I've got the schedule here. This is a little bit of a coup for comic culture. I have the book signing schedule at the big comic shop in London.
So, oh, yeah?
you have the Queen will be at from noon till one.
And then Prince Charles
from 1 till 2. And I think the married couple are going to try to get there at 4 to 5. So lineups will be long.
So, and you know what? If they don't show up, don't blame us.
Yeah, don't blame us.
It's a royal thing, you know. Yeah. We don't know what's going on.
I mean, their schedule is tight.
Yes.
And yeah, there's a chance, you're right, that they will not make it.
That's right, yeah.
All right.
But speaking of scheduling and signings and things like that, there's a almost as big as the royal wedding this weekend is the Boston Comic Con going on this weekend.
You're right. The Boston Comic Con, which we are heading down. Sadly, Chris Owen, my co-host,
I know,
is not heading down.
You know what? Sadly, I have a prior engagement. I have to go to Ottawa this weekend, and I will be missing the Boston Comic Convention, and I'm extremely disappointed about it.
Well, yeah, reading this lineup, so the Boston Comic Con, quickly for people, is an independent Comic Con, obviously held in Boston. And the amount of talent that they can impressive.
This is crazy, yeah.
So, they have, I'll let you read the list, but they have scheduled a whole bunch of panels.
Yep.
With, it's like a Hall of Fame list.
Yeah,
kind of.
I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, as far as the panels go for 2 days, I'm just going to run down the names. I'm not going to tell you what the names of the panels are, but the names are, you've got Howard Chaykin, Matt Wagner, Frank Cho, Stan Sakai, Darwin Cook, Terry Moore, Joe Kubert, Frank Quitely, Tim Sale, J. Scott Campbell, Adam Hughes, J.G. Jones, Dave Johnson, Neil Adams. Like, the list goes on and on and on. These are all top names in the industry.
Right, and they're all getting, individual panel time. I think the panels run 45 minutes. You can jump on Boston Comic Con, just Google Boston Comic Con, and you'll be directed to the site. If you're down in anywhere near, anywhere 8-hour drive from Boston, I highly recommend that you head down to the con, and you're not going to – it's not often that shows can get this much talent packed into one room.
And you know what's really interesting is that this isn't even one of those giant Wizard World type shows. This is it's a convention all on its own, and somehow they've managed to get all these great names at this convention. So this is fantastic. And now, Walt, as you're going down to the show, is there anything in particular you're looking for at this show?
I'm a vintage comic dealer, so I'll always be scrounging for old comic books and stuff like that. But
right.
I really kind of am more interested in, it's not often that I get to go to a con and just enjoy the con.
Right, because you're usually working it.
Yeah, working the con. And so I just kind of want to go down as a fanboy this time around. Yeah. We're going down with a bunch of guys, so it's going to be a fun kind of guy weekend.
Yeah.
Hopefully maybe take in a Red Sox game or something like that. But the convention itself, I would love to sit in one of these panels. Like, I'm a huge Neil Adams fan.
Right.
Maybe talk to these guys. Maybe,
sure.
Just ask them a few questions or something like that. It would be great if we can get some sound bites from these guys for the show.
For sure.
We're going to aim for that, but we can't promise anything. So just generally, I have really no expectations of a plan of exactly how I'm going to execute what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go down and ride the show and just kind of enjoy the ambiance of the whole thing and see where it takes me.
Now, I'm sure, being in the comic book industry, as we both are, it's always fun just to kind of go down and see what's popular, what's going on, what's the buzz, what comics are selling, or which ones are hot, which ones are not selling as well as before. And, I mean, that's kind of the kind of thing that you have to kind of be at these conventions to see what's going on.
Absolutely right. right. Yeah. All right, Chris. So that's the Boston Comic Con happening this weekend. Google it for directions and times. All right. Leaves us with a couple more things. We're going to talk about Free Comic Book Day.
Nice. Free Comic Book Day. I love Free Comic Book Day.
Of course you do. Now, near the end of every show, we talk about what some shops are going to be doing. And today I wanted to focus on a few. Happy Harbor in Edmonton.
Right.
These guys are award-winning, Schuster award-winning comic shop. Great comic shop. They're having a whole ton of stuff going on. They're doing a food bank donation where if you bring in a food, I guess non-perishable food item, you'll get a sketch drawn for free.
Free drawing.
Nat Jones did some work on Spawn. Frazetta Comics as well. He'll be there and he'll be doing these sketches.
And you know what? If you haven't ever seen, okay, let me just go back. Going back for a second for many years, comic book stores were seen as dingy, dark, old, grubby kind of stores. And you know, it's one of those things where if you look at the Happy Harbor store, if you go on their website, this is like, you know, the haven for all comic book shops, because this is something like, you know, Chapters doesn't look this good. It's bright, it's clean, it's fresh looking, and you know, it really it says, hey, it doesn't discourage newcomers from walking into this place. So
right.
It really, you know, you got to give kudos to Happy Harbor.
They're an amazing shop, and they are going to put on now these. What I love about Happy Harbor, quickly, while it just came to my mind, when the wedding, the Archie wedding happened a year and a half ago.
Yes.
Happy Harbor did an amazing thing for PR, for comics, for everything. Is what they did is they hired some local actors, and they acted out the wedding at the store, and there was something like 700-800 people came.
That's awesome.
And the local TV crews came and they filmed, you know, Archie and Veronica getting married and stuff. And it was just a very, very creative public promotion of comic books.
No, that's great.
From a great store like Happy Harbor.
I wish a local store around Hamilton would do something like that.
So do I.
Yeah.
Find a good one around though.
Good luck.
Yeah. Who else is doing stuff? We got Paradise Comics and Gallery out in California. They're doing some work on Free Comic Book Day. I mean, they're putting together a great Free Comic Book Day. It seems to be a huge event for them every year. You're also going to have
Paradise Comics?
Not Paradise Comics. Another Dimension, sorry. Out in Calgary, while we have our friends in Alberta.
Right.
They're also going to have a great Free Comic Book Day. Now, these both, Happy Harbor and Another Dimension, are multi-shop stores.
Right, yes.
And so they have a double duty task of putting on the event in simultaneous places. And having run the Free Comic Book Day every year, it is all hands on deck type.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of work.
You have to have you have to have a guy man in the barbecue. You have to have a guy in the monkey suit.
Who do you got in the monkey suit this year?
Well, we have inked Superman and Flash.
Oh,
they are both going to take a break, barring some sort of world alien invasion.
Of course,
are going to make it.
Are they going to have a race?
The third annual Superman Flash race. It's the rubber match.
Right.
Flash won the first year after feeding Superman an extra hot dog. And Soup's Edge Flash out last year. So it's kind of a rubber race.
Okay,
so it's going to be a very, very exciting thing. I can't go on here, Chris. There's so many comic book shops around North America and the world. And we're sounding like those guys on Jazz FM when it's pledge time.
Please, you got to go to the store.
You got to go, you know, or else we won't play any music. I'll just talk for an hour.
But really, it's a great opportunity to go to your store. If you've never read a comic book before, or if you haven't read one for a long time, you want to go back and check things out again. It's a great chance to go off and just reintroduce yourselves into comics once more.
All right.
All right. Well, Now, one more thing before we end. Now, we've had a few people writing to us about they loved their tips on and I'm going to go back here for a second. They loved our tips on going to comic book conventions. Now,
right.
if you're going to go to this Boston convention, one of the things that one of the guys was saying to me is that he loved this idea of, you know, just having being able to walk away.
Right.
He said, you know what, that was one of the greatest points that he could ever get out of what we were talking about when you go to conventions, was because he went to a dealer and he gave them, he offered them a certain amount of money for something, and he said, you know what, they said no, and he just put it down and said, okay, well, I'm out of here. And this was something that, you know, if he hadn't heard that, he said he wouldn't have necessarily done that. He would have just coughed up the rest of the dough and right. caved in, right?
Right.
So we saved
this guy, what, $11,000?
At least.
See, that's good. Now, when I on comicbookdaily.com, there is in the collectors community,
right?
There is collecting and investing tips.
Okay,
and within those, you're going to see about 12 or 13 convention tips.
Oh, okay, right.
So
right.
I did those as like a weekly series.
Okay,
and the funny thing that you and I are talking about it that we mentioned it the of those 12 and 13 things, and we outlined haggling, we outlined proper nutrition, we outlined getting rest,
right,
and all
right,
that
right,
kind
right.
of stuff. Is as I'm looking at my itinerary for the weekend, I'm probably breaking about nine of those. It's like we're going with a van full of guys. Sleep will be non-existent.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And I'm sure nutrition's non-existent.
Nutrition non-existent. Yeah. Consumption of alcohol may be a little excessive. So I'll let everybody know how I fared. I'll probably come away with, you know, the worst deals I've ever, because I didn't listen to my own advice.
Well, I'm sure it can't be that bad. I mean, I'm sure you're going to have some sort of deals. I'm sure you'll find something. You're always very good at doing that, you know. And one of the things I'm going to say, though, is usually when you go to these conventions, you want to stick close to the convention area where the hall is, and you tend to eat around that area. You know what? If you get a chance, branch off and go somewhere completely out of the way, because going to the Pittsburgh Comic Con a couple weekends ago, we did that for the first time ever, and we found some really great places to eat, and it was a really great time. Not only were we not waiting in line for forever, because everybody from the convention also decides to eat at the same time and goes to the local restaurants, but you know what? It was a great chance to see some local restaurants and mom and pop things and stuff like that.
Chris, you and I champion the local comic book store, and you're right. If you're in town like that, you should champion the local proprietors of restaurants.
Sure.
And eat local fare, drink the local beer.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I always do when
yeah.
I go to a restaurant. Hey, what's local?
Yeah.
You know, if you're in Boston, you have to have some chowder. And so wherever you go, support that local community.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, Walt, we've run out of time again for the show. But I wish you luck in Boston this coming weekend, and for the rest of everybody else, please go out and support your local comic book retailers, and have yourself a wonderful day.
Yeah, and I should mention that Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by James McIntosh. Please go on to comicbookdaily.com, go on to the Comic Culture Podcast, and at the bottom there is a comments field and add comments. We're always looking for comments for the show. Yes, and go out and have yourself a great week, and we'll see everybody in Boston.